Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Kim Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to continue in our series of studies, which we have entitled The Voice of the Lord. And we have chosen as the theme verse of these studies Psalm 29, verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And today on the broadcast, we want to see His voice of power displayed in His earthly ministry down here below. And we have selected a number of incidents in the life of the Lord where He demonstrated His almighty power through His voice, because we're studying about the voice of the Lord. And the first scripture that we wish to refer to is found in Mark chapter 4. There the Lord Jesus Christ is out on the sea with His disciples. We read in verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." This, of course, was on the Sea of Galilee. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." The margin has it more correctly. It was now filling. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Lord was tired. He had been so busy in His earthly ministry that He retired to the back of the ship and went to sleep. Now, this is wonderful, that a sea could be stopped, the waves could be stopped at the voice of a man. But this man was different. This is the Lord God incarnate in human flesh. He spoke, and the sea became a calm. Years ago, the Life magazine, around Easter time, I think it was, carried a series of pictures of the Holy Land, and they carried a picture of the Sea of Galilee. And they were speaking about the Sea of Galilee, that this was the place where the Lord calmed the storm. And they explained, the author explained, that the clouds formed over the mountains, the storm formed up there, floated out over the sea, and struck the sea with sudden ferocity. And just as soon as the squall was passed, the wind quieted down just to where it was. And he insinuated, well, as a matter of fact, he spoke, that the Lord, just at the very psychological moment, said, "Peace, be still." I think he forgot something. These men that were sailing with him had worked on that sea and all their lifetimes. And the scripture says of them, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He didn't know much about the sea. The waves go on for hours after the wind quits. But in this case, there was a great calm. The waters became as glass. He spoke, and he calmed the sea. In the very next chapter, he comes to the land of Gadara, and there is a man possessed with demons that came out of the tombs and met him and fell down before him and worshipped him. And they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They used the man's mouth to speak to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Come out of him," to those demons. And they besought him that he would not send them into the deep, that is, into the abyss that's prepared for them. That they asked the Lord, "Will you send us into that herd of swine over there?" And the Lord, in his omniscience and in his sovereignty, said, "Yes, you may go." They entered the swine, and 2,000 in that herd ran down into the sea and were drowned. The people came out from Gadara. They were shocked. And they found the man out of whom the Lord had cast this legion of demons sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. and they were afraid. And they asked him to leave. And he did. Oh, what a tragedy. He spoke, and the demons were cast out. And the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, we read there about a man who was lame at the pool of Bethesda, and he had laid there for 38 years. There was, at a certain season, an angel came down and disturbed those waters. And the first person that got into the water after it was disturbed was made whole of his troubles. This man was laying there in vain hope, somebody always beat him. The Lord said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And he arose and took up his bed and walked. Yes, he spoke, and the lame was made whole. He spoke, and the leper was cleansed. In the first chapter of Mark, a leper came to our Lord Jesus on one occasion, and he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord said, "I will." The Lord had compassion on him. He says, "I will. Be thou clean." And the leprosy departed from him. He touched him. Now, that was something you were not supposed to do to a leper. But you could not defile our Lord Jesus Christ with anything. He touched him, a gentle touch. And then he told the man, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the offering that the scriptures prescribed." Yes, he had compassion. He spoke, and the leper was cleansed. He spoke, and the dumb spoke, and the deaf heard. It's just over a chapter or two in the seventh chapter of Mark. There was a man there. We read of him. Verse 31, "And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee, where they're in the midst of the coasts of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside and from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he said, sighed and spake unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed." He spoke, and the dumb spoke, and the deaf heard. He spoke, and the dead were raised. I think of this in the 11th chapter of the book of John. In the Gospel of John, Lazarus had died. Martha and Mary sent for the Lord to come. But before he got there, he purposely delayed. He wanted to demonstrate his power. He purposely delayed, and Lazarus died. They thought it was hopeless. The Lord finally came. And the Lord said, "Where have you laid him?" They took him out to the graveside. And the Lord stood at that graveside, and he shouted out, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, Lazarus was bound head and foot with grave clothes, but he came forth. I don't know how. Don't ask me to explain it. But he came forth, and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Yes, he spoke, and he raised the dead. Three times in the history of our Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry, he raised people from the dead, and each time he spoke their name. He spoke to them as individuals. Not their proper name. He said on one occasion, "Talitha kumi," that is, "Maid, I say unto thee, arise." He didn't call her by her name, but she rose. And the widow of the son of Nain rose. "I say unto thee, young man, arise," and he rose. Yes, he spoke, and the dead arose. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak, and the greatest miracle of all times is going to take place. The Thessalonian Christians were very, very disturbed. Paul had come to Thessalonica, and he had told them that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come back and take us all to heaven. But some of their people had passed into the presence of the Lord. And they thought, well, they missed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about these people? And they were very, very disturbed about the fact that they thought that they had lost their loved ones. And he explains, the Apostle Paul explains. He says in verse 13 of the fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep in Jesus, of course. That ye sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not my word, Paul says. This is the word of the Lord that he gave to me. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with his spoken word, with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. How many people are involved in this miracle? I say millions. This is the church that is raptured into the immediate presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the miracles of all past ages rolled together in one will not equal this miracle. And it's going to happen. It's just as sure as history. And it may happen sooner than we think. When the church of God is completed, the Lord is going to come back to the ear, and he's going to give that rapturing shout. And if we're alive, we will hear that shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus. I heard a minister of the gospel once say, "I'm not interested in riding in an airplane. I'm interested in riding in plain air." He's going to be caught up. As a matter of fact, he's with the Lord now. I knew him in person. Now, this is true. This is a coming event. The Lord is going to speak, and his greatest power, the power over death, is going to be exercised for millions upon millions upon millions of people in an instant and a moment of time. Yes, he speaks, and all the dead arises. And unfortunately, he speaks on another occasion at the great white throne. The dead are brought before him, only to be consigned to a lost eternity. Why? Because they wouldn't have him as Savior. Isn't that too bad? Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the power of our Lord Jesus, the power of his spoken word. May he speak peace to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.